KELOX statewide welcome. NHCLH. NHQYQ statewide welcome.
QYQ. NHCLH. Good morning. How are you?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Car's in the shop for a couple days, so don't have the normal radio. So I said, oh, what the heck, I'll grab the DMR and see what's going on.
Oh, very nice, other than the car being in the shop. What's wrong with it?
Air conditioning, which, you know, I like my air conditioning. I'm a, like, Finlander by heritage, so I tend to appreciate the cool more than I do the warm. And so to pretend like for comfort reasons I would, or for economic reasons, I would choose to forego air conditioning is probably, you know, pretty ludicrous. But the car being a plug-in electric hybrid actually uses the air conditioning system to manage the traction battery temperatures as well. And so because of that, it becomes a little bit more of a, you know, maintenance thing that's got to happen. So, and of course, it was the part, it's an evaporator that is buried behind the dashboard for some reason. And so the labor is pretty extensive.
Man, they just don't make anything easy anymore, do they? And to not have air conditioning, especially with the hot days, and I don't blame you. It was very unfortunate how that all works with how they just bury things behind things and then making the labor even more.
Yep, very true. My wife's car, crazy enough, it's a 2010 Cadillac CTS, and like I hope there is a like special place in Hades for whoever the guy is who designed how to get to the headlamps, because just to change out the headlight, I'm not kidding you, you have to disassemble part of the wheel well, part of the grill, the whole assembly has got to come out and apart. And you then finally can reach where the bolt goes and put it all back together. It's a, like, for a normal do-it-yourselfer, I've done it once, and it took like 2.5 hours, and then I gave up, or I don't even know what I did. But I think I replaced one, and then the other one went out, and I was like, no way. I'll drive around with, like, no headlights for a while. So, truth be told, now I got to take this car into the mechanic, too, and, you know, get them to do that, because I just can't sit there on the street doing 2.5 hours with a headlamp.
I had a 2016 Ford Fusion that had a similar setup as far as the headlamp goes, and I agree. I am also...
Nice. Now, in contrast, I had a 2016 Chevy Traverse, and that thing just ate through light bulbs. Every few months, another bulb would go out. So I literally kept a spare bulb or two in the trunk with the exact wrench that I needed with the star bit or whatever. And, like, I could replace that in 3 minutes. Like, no problem. And it was kind of crazy, too. You had to open part of the wheel well, reach in from the back, whatever else. But still, was able to knock that out in a few minutes. And so... You know, in contrast, it's just, it's pretty nuts, but whatever, all good, such is life. I mean, like, all my problems are first world problems, right?
Yeah, I gotta keep it positive, right? Could be worse. So far, I haven't had to replace a light bulb in my 21 Traverse, so hopefully we didn't just jinx that. However, I'm at work. I gotta take care of a couple things, and we shall talk later. I'll be taking my Part 107 test later today, so I'm feeling mostly confident. But anyways, we'll talk later, Jay. Always a pleasure. NHC QIQ from NHCLH 73 for now.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Let's talk more about that. By the way, you're going to be great. You definitely got this, but for a couple of reasons, I'd love to chat with you a little bit more about that. And have a great day at the office, and we'll catch you later. NHCYQ, monitoring state Michael.
KJKJL.
I think I heard KJL. If you're trying, feel free to try again. NHCYQ.
Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Good morning. This is Tom Tango Oscar Mike.
Hey, Tom. Good morning to you. Name is Jay, Juliet Alpha Yankee. And I am portable here in the city of Detroit on my way to.
Okay. That's darn it. I got a phone call. I'll read that. KCKJL. Well, that was a short-lived phone call, KCKJL.
Hello again, Tom.
So you said, Jay, that you're in Livonia off the Detroit Tower. I'm over here by Davis and Lapeer bouncing off of Flint.
Yeah, pretty close. I'm portable in the city of Detroit, headed to Livonia. And I am a very new DMR user, and so practically every QSO I'm learning something new. And so I imagine I'm still on Detroit, and but I don't know the exact coverage in the region here, so still learning.
Well, in Detroit is pretty good coverage. I mean, it's got a very long arm, I guess you could say. And then you'll hit it in Livonia, and then the best thing to do is start getting kind of pixelated is flip over to the Novi Tower, and then you get the coverage over there. Yeah, Central Michigan Network has, I think, like 18 sites throughout Central Michigan, and they got a lot of coverage.
Yeah, it seems pretty amazing. So now I've used this same K-Y-1 talk group without changing channels or talkers on the radio in both Detroit and Livonia. Is it like traditional repeaters where you're changing frequencies, or are you staying in one talk group and wherever you roam, is there a voter system to choose which receipt site picks it up?
KJKJL monitoring. I heard you out there, Jay, but I think I lost you.
All right. Probably on the edge of coverage. We'll try again later. Thanks for the quick two-step time. Any QYQ portable?
Anytime. I'm always out here one way or another. Drive safe. 73. KJKJL.
KEAWOJ, you're both coming in loud and clear over here.
Morning, Ricky. KJKJL.
Hi, Tom. How you doing this morning? Where are you headed?
East Lansing.
Oh, you're going to go over there and chase around some of them college girls?
Yeah, I don't chase anymore. I have them come to me.
Hey, that's the way to do it. That's the way you know the difference between an old bull and a young bull.
Exactly. Do it with tact and finesse. Sometimes, you know, it just happens naturally, I guess you could say. I'm a very talkable person, as you can see. But I'm also a very big people person.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty obvious. You're talking, you've got the best way of driving around, especially being in the vehicle all day. You're always talking to somebody.
Well, not only that, it's just I've always been people-oriented. I mean, I used to deliver newspapers. Got really good with my customers there. What I do now, same thing. But what drives my wife nuts is I can strike up a conversation with almost anybody.
See, now, I was the other way around. I don't know how I got into radio. I just sort of kind of kept to myself. At work, I didn't bother with anybody at work. When I was working kind of thing. And outside of that, it had to be kind of good or close friends kind of thing. Otherwise, I was quiet most of the time. And just all of a sudden, I decided to get into radio. I guess I like the technical portion of it.
Oh, yeah. That's great being on the radio. I mean, I was a little bit shy in the beginning doing a lot of things, especially this. But then it just you know, just developed over time, I guess you could say. I hear a lot of noise. Oh, some part. So, yeah, it's, I enjoy it. I have to enjoy my horror shows. You know, I was nervous at first with those, but now I, you know, I just go out there and have fun.
Yeah, when I was a kid there, high school, I guess, I had a neighbor that had Arabian horses, and she used to wander around to shows all over the place. And I went with them times, and that was very cool, and all the horse people are pretty friendly. Still there, Tom? KEAWOJ.
Yeah, I got a phone call, Rick. I'll be back. Casey, get you.
What up, Rick?
Hey, Dakota. How you doing, young man?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Fat, dumb, and ugly, same as always.
Well, I'll be. I can relate to that.
Trying to get a little smarter there. I've been watching horse shooting videos on that Backfire channel there. Now he's going through. He just put one out about the best choice for hunting Alaska. So just been watching that. That and watching another guy float 230 miles down the Yukon.
Sounds a little more remote for my taste, but I'm sure that would be quite a trip.
Oh, yeah, he's a Michigan fella. He's a kind of, he guides steelhead trips, float trips down rivers and different kind of things. Some trips up in the Lake Superior and that. He got the idea from this other explorer type of guy who's kind of famous. And he did the same thing. He only, I think he went about 500 miles all the way from the Yukon, almost across the whole top of Canada there. It was quite the journey, but I'm jealous as heck. I wish I'd have done that when I was younger. I couldn't do it now. I couldn't make one of them portages, let alone hundreds of miles of it.
Yeah, that's some no-joke outdoor adventurism where that's a lot of effort. But I guess when you're done and you get to say you did it, that's pretty damn cool.
Exactly what I was thinking. I thought, boy, all this work. Trying to drag all your equipment around, all these log jams and all that crap. I don't know. I think I'd pick a bigger river that didn't get jammed up like that.
Those are what you call true outdoorsmen. The older I get, the more I call them make-a-wish hunts that I like. Like I was telling you at my buddy's farm, you walk 100 yards till you're blind, and then you shoot 300 yards, and you drive the truck up to the curb. Like the low-effort ones. But I also haven't done any true... I've never backpacked on it, so I guess I don't have the appreciation for it.
Yeah, but as I got older, that kind of hunting suits me just fine. You don't have to go very far. I was in the backpacking long ago there. I enjoyed the fact that everything you needed was on your back. You could go anywhere you want. You had everything you needed kind of thing. It was quite enjoyable. It's a lot of work. You got to build up to it kind of thing, but... you learn pretty quickly on the difference between things you need and things that you ain't really that crucial, you know, when you start kind of humping them up and down hills and mountains and stuff.
All right, I'm back. KCKGO. Good morning, Dakota.
Alaska's guided, so it's not, it's not as authentic as what we're talking about right now. But I think, I mean, maybe later in life I'll do a backpacking trip out west. I still think it'd be a riot. I guess it'll depend on if I get that 6.5 PRC or not. He told me the other day, Beth Hub and Marlette had their outdoor expo, which what a freaking circus that was. Took the wife and kids up there to go get a pair of coats because they were 40% off. They marked them up $50 more than retail, and the line was about 2.5 hours long, so I left. I told him I was going there to buy a deer gun. He goes, just be patient. And then I asked him how much he wanted for the Sendero. He goes, just be patient. So it sounds like that might still happen.
Katie,
thank you. That's Tom's back. Yeah, that's Sendero. I was looking that up myself once he told me what gun it was kind of thing. And I, you know, if it was me, I'd try to get the guy to, I'm sure you've probably heard of it. They call him a Remington Savage. You know how the Savages, I think it's the 110s, have the barrel nut just like an AR-15? And they make bolt-action rifles, so it's the same way. So you can have switch barrels on the doggone thing. That's probably the way I'd go. I'd get a nice caliber for elk and deer and mule deer and all that kind of stuff, and then another one for varmint stuff. Anyway, that's just me. KEWOJ, Dakota, and then pass it over to Tom.
Oh, we're making it in okay. I'm cruising around with HP today and downtown Romeo. But, yeah, so I think they're, I want to say they're called, aren't they Remage? Is that what the, so I don't know, we'll see. I think 143 grain going 3200. I don't know that I really need that around here. But I'm not going to say no if it's coming my way. Go up, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Dakota. As I say, is just to jump off subject there, because you guys are talking about stuff that's beyond my realm. Not that I don't like guns. But, yeah, the SL 7550 that I got from Anthony, it's a nice little radio. It's all digital, and so far it does pretty good. You know, I was in Flint most of the day yesterday, or by Flint, and I was talking on it just fine from Grand Blanc. So that's just to give you a heads up on that. And I got a program for my hotspot, too. So, you know, when you get a chance, check it out or talk to Anthony to see if he's got any others coming in. I'll let you guys have back at it. I got to make a couple more phone calls. I just want to jump in there real quick. So be safe in your travels, both of you. 73KCKJO.
Okay, Tom, have a good one. Sorry about that. I was going nuts there, too. It's hard to stay off the subject here. KEWOJ, go ahead, Dakota.
Tom, I'm the guy that flashed all of those. They were locked. They had a code flip password on them.
Are you getting a remote control head for an existing radio, or are you looking for another radio?
So for the XPRs, the mobiles, they have these things. They're called, what are they, remote control head units, I think it's called. And it's literally like, it looks like a, it's the screen of a 7550, and it's like a microphone, but it's got, it's basically a 7550 that plugs in your mobile. And that's what you use to control the radio and talk on.
Yeah, any code's got the same thing as 578. I can get a Bluetooth kind of head for it, to a remote to run it with. It's kind of like a cell phone, only it's running a radio, so you can stuff it under your seat or, you know, wherever you want to stuff the doggone thing, and Bluetooth to it through the remote.
Exactly that. So waiting for a deal to pop up on one of those. Give me 1 minute, I'm going to run through the truck wash here. That ain't DBF.
No problem, I ain't going nowhere.
That ain't DBF.
K-E-A-W-O-J. So you've been busting any more hogs?
I'll talk about my college days, Rick.
Yeah. No, the other hogs.
I don't remember if I sent you the picture the other day or not, but my neighbor had one living under her shed. She's got a really nice garden. She gives me a bunch of cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff out of. And I was sitting in the driveway, being the typical redneck I am, and I look over and there's a groundhog just hanging out in her yard, staring at me between the shed and the garden, so I texted her. And she goes, yeah, it's been digging holes, and we cover them, and then it digs them back out. And I'm like, I mean, if you want it gone, I can make it go away. And she's like, yeah, if you see it, you know, go ahead and get rid of it. We're trying to figure out how to kill it. And no kidding, like 15 minutes later, pokes his head out from under the shed. I grab the 17. I'll send you a picture if I didn't. And I didn't even know she was outside. She was on the other side of her house in the driveway. And ripped that thing right in the head and walked over to pick it up, and I found out she was outside. She goes, what's going on? And I picked it up. She goes, oh, my gosh, because I didn't, when'd you do that? I didn't even hear you.
Wow, either that 17's pretty quiet or she's a little hard of hearing here. But, yeah, you sent me a picture. I was laughing. I think when I texted you back, I asked you if that was another from your toilet stand.
I did see I texted you. Sorry, I'm absolutely terrible at replying to text messages. No, that one was from the garage. I just sent you a picture of the sniper hide that I had. But, yeah, I think she's 74, 75, so hearing's probably not the greatest. But shooting from inside of a garage with a suppressor, there's no way she was going to hear it.
Oh, cool. So I've always been curious. I imagine the suppressor does change your point of impact, but is it a lot? Does it change group size, or have you tested any of that?
You know, so that's a good question. I don't know that it does, and this is my non-scientific logic. This is my hypothesis. I only shoot bull barrels, and I shoot like a my 17 bowl barrel is a straight profile, so it's the same diameter the entire width or length of the barrel. It's like a 1-inch bowl. And I think because the diameter of the 17 is so small, it's basically a solid shaft of metal. I don't know how much those harmonics even change. So I vaguely remember after getting it back from Magnaport, just verifying POI. But then I think shortly after I bought that Viper that's on it. So I don't know how much that I even have because I don't shoot those guns without a suppressor, like, period. So I want to say it doesn't, but I also haven't really paid attention or tested it thoroughly to know.
Well, it just seems to me it would. I don't have a suppressor. I haven't tried one, but I do have that MagnetoSpeed, which is just a plastic, transducer chronograph deal. And I noticed when I put that, and it's not very heavy. It's probably about the same weight or maybe even a little bit lighter than a good suppressor. But I noticed when I put that on the barrels to chronograph speeds and on, and the point of impact changes and sometimes the group size changes. So I imagine it just makes me think that just about anywhere on added weight on the barrel changes things. But I could be wrong. I thought I was wrong once, but I was incorrect.
I'm sure there is a POI shift to some degree. Whether or not it's noticeable is another topic of discussion. But that 17, like I said, I don't even, it's got to have at least 1,000 kills. I've had it for almost 9 years now, maybe 10. And it's my bingo. I mean, that thing has killed more groundhogs than most people see in their lifetime. So, and that's not including the rabbits, the raccoons, and everything else that it's had in its crosshairs. So it's just a drive. It just shoots. It's a tack driver, and it was accurate before the suppressor, and then I had it threaded from Magnaport, not cut. I just had them thread it, crown it, which that was not a great experience. I'll never do business with Magnaport again. And then it's had that sparrow on it ever since.
Now, I'm curious. I haven't paid much attention to anything smaller than a 223 there. So is that a center fire or a rim fire?
It's a rim fire that wants to be a center fire. It's a 17 grain, 17 cal going. Box says 2550. My chronos were anywhere from 28 to 3. So take that for what it's worth. Granted, that's a crappy Caldwell. The shoot over where the light's got to be perfect and the stars got to align to get a good reading. I'm eventually going to buy one of those Garmin Zeros, but I think I told you, like, all my stuff's still not.
Well, if you decide to go that route, Athlon makes a copy of the Garmin for about $200 less, I think. Seems to be the same exact unit, and I've been wanting one of them myself because, to be honest with you, the MagnetoSpeed's nice, but since it changes point of impact and group size kind of thing, you can't just put it on there and start shooting, you know what I mean? So you get numbers on it, add it to the ballistics, get it off, and then, you know, then I do load testing and group size, you know, all that kind of thing, where the Athlon and the Garmin just sits beside you on the fence there. So I've been wanting to get one of them myself.
It's definitely a want and not a need for me at this point. If I ever buy another pair of rifle, it'll be a non-negotiable. I'll have to buy one. Shooting an air rifle is impossible without a chrono, so... they're sweet. I think the technology is phenomenal. I'm a big Garmin guy. I wear a Garmin Epix on my wrist every day. They make great stuff, but you're definitely paying through the nose for something that probably shouldn't be that expensive.
Well, you're right about the want and need kind of thing. I spend most of my shooting life with no chronograph. I do my own loading, so I stick to the minimum maximum loads listed kind of thing, and check the brass for pressure, overpressure, whatever kind of thing. And when I needed to, I checked the distance. I got a good 100-yard zero, and then would go to 200 yards and then shoot a group and measure the drop on it. And that's what I used to when I went out to shoot my first 600-yard target there. And my guessing was all right because the first round hit the target, so I could adjust from there.
Sorry about that. I had to change my... audio profile. I forgot I updated this code plug. I'm like, why do I have the radio all the way up and I can still barely hear them? You know, believe it or not, I've got, I think, three rifles that I actually care about how fast they're shooting because they're the only ones that I actually have data on and dial. And that's the 223, the 350, and then I've got a 22. I sent you a picture of it's all decked out that can shoot NRL open class. Other than that, everything else is Kentucky Windage. I just shot them enough that I know where to, like the 17, I know exactly where to hold out the 150. I think the furthest I've shot that gun is 180, but you're doing that on a calm day.
Yeah, it was always the same way. Once I learned about point blank range there, I just I set up everything that way. And about 98% of the time, whatever I was shooting at was within that point-blank range there, so I knew exactly what to do. and it worked out pretty good, but, you know, then, like me and like everybody else, we started getting interested in the longer range stuff, and I figured I was going to have to start twisting dials, so I got more into the ballistics portion of it. But the way I did it, I guess, without the chronograph, it kind of worked out pretty good. You just keep playing with the numbers until it drops the same amount of drop you had at 200 yards. And, you know, if you got further ranges to check it out, you don't need one at all. You can just, you know, do the actual drops rather than using an app at all.
That's how it was all done before. It was all done by hand calculations and just testing. We got it good now. These calculators, man, they're getting real accurate with minimal screwing around. Like I said, I've got those Fury ABs, the 5000 ABs that have Applied Ballistics on board, and Vortex has their own. It's kind of like a light version of Applied Ballistics, with their skin on it, obviously. And all you really do is just load in some basic numbers and. I'll tell you what, that thing has not let me down yet. I can load three profiles on it, flip between them depending on which rifle I'm using and not have to hook up the app, and things never done me wrong.
Yeah, you got me going from the last time we had a good long conversation about this. I think I've been testing, I can't remember, it's five or six ballistic apps. Yeah, I found out real quickly, if you feed them all the exact info, the same exact, same data, you come out with the same output on every one of them, no matter which ones they were, Strelok Pro or Geoballistics or Shooter, that's an old one that's still pretty accurate. The AV, I do have a free version of the AV, so I've been playing with that, so... Yeah, anyway, I've been fooling around with that, and like I said, you know, they all come up with the same data.
They've probably got to be running on the same model, or I guess at the end of the day, it's the same calculation. So as long as you're entering in the data, that's the tricky part. Is some of them, the way they want you to put the data in is a little different, or some of them, like the G model is buried. It's not blatantly apparent that you're on a G1 or a G7 model. But I've always, before even I got these binoculars, I was shooting the Applied Ballistics app. I paid $30 for it forever ago. And it's always been good, and that's the one thing I always told myself is I got to stick with one app to make sure I'm consistent. And it's done me good. And then, of course, these Vortex rolled out. And I found out they were running on the AV engine. I'm like, sweet, I shouldn't even have to sight my rifles back in, and I didn't.
Yeah, now I started out a long time ago with one called Strelok Pro. It was on the Google Play Store there for, I think it was $11 or something like that. And very intuitive. You don't really need a manual. You can just see what it needs and what it wants and go through it kind of thing. And I got hooked on that one a long, long time ago. But you can't get it now because ever since it was written by a Russian shooter. And ever since Russia went to war with Ukraine, the U.S. decided to ban all Russian products or whatever kind of, so you can't get the app anymore. So that's what got me looking at the other apps. But like I said, they all come out with the same output, as long as you got exactly the same data.
I went through that same exact thing because I was shooting. That's what I started with Strelok Pro. And I think the only thing I had in there at the time was like a 22, where I was just checking it, you know, kind of guess and see how far, how far can I shoot before I really knew anything about ballistics and whatnot. And then when that got banned, that's when I just said, okay, well, I'm going to jump into AB and see how this goes. And I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, luckily I got it on my phone, the current phone I'm using there, before it got banned there. And so I'm still using it. And I wanted to load it onto a tablet and tried to get it, and no luck. So I tried to download it from another country, and none of it worked. So then I thought, well, I guess I better start using some of these others. So I've been playing. There was another one. What the heck was that? Was it called Point Blank or something? That one's kind of nice because it does that. I forgot the name of it. Yeah, anyway, you can give it the accuracy, you know, like it's 1 MOA or 3/4 MOA kind of thing. And it'll give you these groups, like you do 100 rounds, and it'll show you the spread of 100 rounds, you know, through there. It's very nice for, you know, like you and me that like to play with the data and see what happens kind of thing.
That was another bridge crossing that I had to decide a long time ago. I was like everyone in the United States. I started out with MOA scopes, and I hate fractions. And I don't hate the Imperial system. I just think the metric system makes more sense for how my brain works. So I shoot MRAD, and that made a big difference for me as a shooter, too, just being able to on the fly make adjustments that made sense in my head.
Yeah, now, see, I'm exactly the opposite. I've been doing fractions. I used to be a carpenter, building houses and all that, and then I was a pipe fitter, and so I've been using fractions forever. It's just it's very quick and easy for me. And so, like the street lock there, you know, the info they give you, you can just hold down on one or the other, the mill or the MOA, and it disappears. So you're only shown what it is you're looking for, kind of thing. It's kind of interesting. But most of them give you one, you know, one way or the other. They give you the same data in both MOA and mills. So I've kind of come around to mills myself. I have one or two scopes that are MRAD, and I'm starting to play with those a little bit. I got one of them on them. One of them new barrels I got for the Encore that I got to play out, test out, a Burris.
Yeah, that's how my dad is. He's a retired carpenter, so you know he can look at any fraction and it's no problem. He can split measurements and all that crap. And I'm like, yeah, hold on a second. I gotta figure this out. So I like the tens of decimals, ten clicks in one milliradian. I think the MOA is technically more.
Yeah, the MOA is just, say, a quarter of an inch to round it off, the 47,000. Quarter inch at 100 yards, and the 0.1 mil is 3/8 of an inch at 100 yards. So they're not that much different.
I like to consider myself a pretty damn good marksman, but I can promise you I'm not going to notice the difference between a quarter inch and 3/8 of an inch.
Yeah, exactly. At our normal ranges that we play with and hunt with and shoot at kind of thing, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But once you're at 1,000 or past 1,000 or whatever, and you get off of 3/8 of a MOA or a MRAD or you know what I mean kind of thing, it starts to make quite a bit of difference.
Just switched over to Troy here. Hopefully I sound okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you're shooting leagues or you're shooting competition, it makes a difference when you're shooting 8, 9, 1,000. And shooting groundhogs at 400 yards, it doesn't matter.
For some reason, after you unkey, I'm still receiving from the repeater there. I don't know why that is. It just started happening. But anyway, yeah, you're right. I lost my train of thought now. Doggone it. Anyway, being grounded in fractions and Imperial there, I'm still kind of hooked on the MOA stuff. But I can see where the draw of the MRAD is there. I mean, they give you you need 1.1 mil kind of thing, and the scope turret matches it exactly, you know, where sometimes in MOA you've got to kind of round it up or down a little bit.
So after saying that, I remember that anything I've set up for my dad, the MRAD. And then being, I guess, you know, understanding fractions and understanding how they apply in a scope, I guess, are two separate things. Obviously, you've got that figured out, but he's never together. And it's got a Harkin 4 to 16 on it, I think, or 4 to 12. Yeah, 4 to 16. And it was MRAD. Yeah.
K8WJ. Yeah, I think the press MRAD that I put on that new barrel, I just don't like the big dots. You know, they either have the oval shape or the big round dots, and they cover up a lot. You know, if you're shooting at a small target, it'll disappear behind that. Where the MOA scopes all just have, you know, just a little crosshair all the way down through there, so it doesn't seem to cover up as much. But that's not a big thing. I guess it's something you can get used to.
I don't know if I'm making it out. I'm in that 59 and 75 here. That's the other thing. So if I'm dialing and shooting distance, it's first focal plane. If it's a hunting gun that's on the dial, it's second focal plane.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been coming to figure out that now I've been, you know, I always had high power scopes with a lot of, you know, variable range kind of thing. And I started, now that I got older and my eyes ain't as good as they used to be kind of thing, I started getting the LPVOs kind of thing, and I found out right away that first focal plane just really doesn't matter on those anymore, because once you get down to one or two, you know, on the power setting, you can't read any of those numbers on there or the tick marks on there kind of thing. It's just one thin little line kind of stuff. I'm the same way with my low power scopes. Second focal plane is fine.
Yep, I went through that too. I was looking at, I think I was looking at, what was it, a 2-7? It might have been a 1-6 LPVO. What was it? Maybe a 1-4 Trigicon. I can't remember. I had an LPVO, and it was the same thing. When I was zoomed out, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this thing?
Yeah, I like them. I mean, the field of view, I like everything about them, except for that. If they're first focal plane, they're the reticle, and it's, you know, trying to shoot off the reticle is useless kind of thing, unless you've got it cranked all the way up kind of thing. But I think I've got four of them now. I started replacing a whole bunch of stuff with these 1-6 Athlons, and I like the heck out of them.
Yeah, they serve a purpose for sure, but it's a specific application that they're meant for. Because if you think about it, it's like, well, when the hell am I dialing with a 1-6? Or when am I holding with a 1-6? I guess, I don't know. I guess in that situation, I don't have the right gun.
Yeah, it all depends on the target. You know, if you're... if you're poking a deer, that's one thing. If you're poking at prairie dogs, or, you know, that's a whole other thing. One power's not really doing you much. Probably six ain't that much either kind of thing. But yeah, and like I don't even get to get out anymore. I've been wanting to, they have some that are 1-8 and 1-10 power, which in my opinion would be absolutely perfect. You know, if you need a wide field of view and you're shooting a good-sized target, one's just fine. And if you got to get up to 10 or 8 or 10, that's just fine also. But every one I can find that goes up that high, 1-8 or 1-10, is all BDC. You know, it's not either mil or MOA. It's BDC, and I don't want any BDCs. I'd probably be shooting a different bullet at a different velocity. And, you know, why have the tick marks if they're not going to be accurate?
Well, and the other thing when you're going that high magnification on an LPVO is if you're not spending a bunch of money, your eye box is like non-existent. You're touching the scope with your eyelashes. So that's the other component, is you're spending $1,500 on an optic that, you know, you could, if you need 10 power, you're probably better off just buying a dedicated, you know, 3 to 12 or 3 to 16 or something. You have better.
Oh, that would be nice. But it seemed like through hunting and through when I was into photography, the same thing. I'd get all set up for what I would think was going to happen with lenses and stuff on the camera. And a situation pops up like anywhere else in hunting or whatever. And if you're not all ready and it takes you longer for than 2 or 3 seconds, the moment's gone kind of thing. And I'd always have the wrong lens on the camera or whatever. And I started using 2 or 3 cameras with all different lenses. And you can't really carry around 2 or 3 rifles while you're hunting there. So you take one out that you think where something's going to happen, and something else pops up, and you're really not set up. It's not the right setup for it kind of thing. So that's where I kind of thought the LPVOs, with, you know, going from 1 to 8 or 1 to 10 would be real nice, because it's got you covered whatever you need kind of thing, or in my opinion anyway.
But sometimes it's not exactly simple.
Not sure where you are, but I'm kind of losing you a lot now.
I don't know how well I'm not making it, and you just told me so. I'm about 14 minutes away from my destination, so I'm going to clear out. I got to make one more phone call, so I'll catch you on the way out of here.
Have a good, safe trip there, and always a great pleasure to talk with you. Enjoy the heck out of it. And we still got to do the 9mm 40, damn it. Catch you later, KEAWOJ.
Yes, we do. All right, I'll catch you. I'll be
KEAKJO.
That ain't EDF at all.
KDR, how's it going, Phil?
I'm pretty good time. I'm just heading over east side. I got a doctor's appointment. So, I'm over here on M59. And I'm cleaning up Wally's machine.
Oh, gotcha. I'm driving down US 127 going to Jackson from Lansing. I'm on that little Westall 7550 I got from Anthony. Got my hotspot and, of course, my cell phone. So you sound pretty good coming across.
Oh, okay. You got a mobile setup going there. All right. So you got an open spot?
Yeah, I got an open spot through the cell. You know, it's a little digital-only UHF radio. It's kind of nice. It's right in your pocket.
Yeah, I've seen all you guys talking about it. I have to look at one and see if it's any interest. Yeah, what do you have the open spot for?
No, it's a little one called an NPSD DMR. I got it from John 88OD at one of our meetings, and then I just have it Wi-Fi'd into my cell puck or whatever, my wireless cell modem that's here in the van.
But again, that sounds familiar.
I have a good cell signal. I got a good radio here.
Yeah, I didn't hear the first part of your transmission. Again, I was asking, what's the model number that opens?
Oh, it's a Whiskey Papa Sierra Delta, WPSB, open spot. You know, it's a little, almost like a little Pi Star, like a Pi Zero, with a MFDVM hat on it. Works pretty good.
Yeah, like I was saying, statewide one is not good on a hot spot.
Oh, really? Okay. Did not know that. I wonder why. Oh, it's because of
Yeah, there's multiple issues. There's multiple issues. But I heard both Tom and I heard you, so I guess you're not hearing Tom. I'm hearing both of you guys.
No, I may have been in a bad spot in Utica, down in the valley a little bit. All right. Well, I'm just about where I got to be. I guess I've got to get through this one more traffic light, and I'm there. So, catch you later. Over you, Tom.
Yeah, as long as I'm getting through, I'm a happy camper. All right, Phil, I'll let you get to your next appointment, Dave. Good afternoon. And talk about perfect timing and all. I'll be getting off from the exit to my next run, so I will chat with you guys in a bit. I'll be back out. KCKGO.
Safe journeys to both of you, KF8S.
Hey, do you have some mole? Okay.
KCKGO.
Check. W8EAP. W8PF8S. W8PF8. PRC. W. KF8.
This is KF8EVQ. Statewide 1.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Does anyone know what's going on that park or by the concert stadium on 16 Mile Road?
W8VIJ calling.
W8EAP, W8EAPKF8S. Yeah, why do you got Dino's call on your radio?
Because I'm programming them, testing them out. Anyhow, how am I for packet loss? I'm just sitting out here in the garage.
I don't know. It seems to be okay. Why are you selling it to him?
Nah, you know me. I give radios away, man. I never accept cash. Yeah, okay. I was just showing Jeff what DMR is. So. All right. It's later. W8EAP.
Can't be that.
W-U-O.